DangerQuestMysteries.com presents
M.O.B.E. Number 8.
Mysteries of the Bicycle Explained.
This machine cheers melancholia.
Mysteries of the Bicycle Explained.
A strange and serious examination of bicycular truth by your author, Peter Gelman.
Of the Bicycle Explained.
This machine cures melancholia. As it didn't rain, the January sky didn't need clouds. That stranger, Yellowface, peeked down from the top of Mount Hood. Jake, Antonia, and I agreed to bike toward the Columbia River on the path that traced Highway 205. I put in new brake pads, finally, Jake told me unhappily, the kind you recommended, with the little tooth that dries the rim. I nodded cautiously, suspecting that Jake and Antonia had been bickering before I arrived in my own bad mood. In about 5 minutes, we'll all be happy, I told them. Antonia half smiled because I always say that when we start out. Then she was racing past me. I caught up and told her, think about what Spanish word you want to teach me today, okay? Okay, she nodded, preparing to begin the lesson, but I interrupted. Not now. Wait 12 and a half minutes.
Why 12 and a half minutes?
Because 12 and a half minutes on a bike puts anyone into a good mood. She scoffed.
It will take at least 20 minutes today.
I pulled ahead to leave her and Jake to themselves for a while. Somewhat grimly, we started off uphill, and as my effort increased, I felt my mood lighten. I felt the clenched unhappiness of my mind drop away and felt the gratification of altitude for my efforts. As we passed Fred Meyer's uphill, I realized I had pulled far ahead. Jake and Antonia had stopped behind me, so I waited. I yelled back,
sorry, didn't see you stop.
They started to cycle up the hill. Jake yelled, yabba, baba, baba. Or rather, that was what it sounded like through the wind. So I yelled back, baba, yabba, yabba. Despite his low speed, Jake managed to skid to a stop beside me. He asked, "Hey, did you actually say Baba Yaba Yaba?" "Yes, sirree, but I was just repeating back what I heard." As Antonia was catching up to us, Jake explained what he actually said. Antonia had stopped because she saw three pennies by the curb, and she remembered dreaming the night before that she had found three pennies. I looked at her as she stopped beside us. "You want us to wait while you go spend your three pennies at Fred Meyer's?" Familiar with my monkey chatter, she rolled her eyes. "With three pennies?"
"I know something you can buy for 3 cents," Jake smirked.
"What?"
We waited.
Jake turned away and quickly pedaled away from us without answering. Still, we waited. Suddenly, he turned over his shoulder and shouted back gleefully,
"You can buy some Yaba Baba Baba."
As we neared the highway, the traffic noise grew louder.
"And now it's time for the Gilmo Interlude Mystery Dances."
We turned left at the Gateway Transit Center. A lanky runner with an elf cap passed us.
"Hey, you can see they made a lot of progress on the light rail line to the airport," I told them through the noise of a bus pulling nearby.
"They made a lot of Yaba Baba Baba," Jake agreed.
I immediately retorted,
"Don't you Yaba Baba Baba me. And right here is where that security guard told me to walk my bike. He was polite, but he looked like he wanted to kick my butt."
"Oh, the wind," Antonia shivered. The wind flapped and fluttered, but the sun still shone. The traffic noise roared nearby. We rolled downhill quickly and passed the runner in the elf cap. In a few minutes, we rose up again near Rocky Butte, the noisy highway between us. The path curved further uphill, and then we saw Mount St. Helens, so white the white was blue, with pink shadows in the winter sun.
"Wow, see that?" grinned Jake.
"Huh, I told you."
"What?"
"Huh, huh."
"What?"
"We're in good moods now."
The runner in the elf cap suddenly came up from behind us and passed us.
"Not just good moods, great moods," Antonia smiled, shivering.
"Look at hood." It stood totally white, like a canine tooth, to the east.
"In Mexico, you name your mountains names like Papo Tenechtek Tapo Papo Pop."
"You mean Popocatépetl?"
"Yeah, that's what I said. And we call our mountain Hood. Just Hood. One syllable."
"Funny," Jake observed. "A one-syllable word seems absurdly inadequate to name a mountain.
I'm not sure a 5 or 6 syllable word is any better. Antonia did not seem surprised. Maybe all names for mountains are absurd. Maybe we need a 100-syllable word, I suggested helpfully. Faintly, Antonia smiled. They have no names, really. Suddenly, she rang her bicycle bell. When I looked at her, she asked, Are you ready for your Spanish word? I nodded as I steered my bike around the broken red plastic shards of a car's brake light. Spanish for flat tire is llanta ponchada. I stood up on the pedals and called out robotically, Violation, violation, I detect a violation. No fair, it's 2 words. I'm only supposed to learn 1. Too bad. Now you say it. Llanta ponchada. What? Something? Patiently, she repeated, Llanta, llanta ponchada. Llanta ponchada. I decided not to be cooperative. Oh, I get it. Baba, yaba, yaba. No, very bad. Are you trying to be stupid? Yes, it's my natural talent. It took a half a mile to admit to her that I could say it right. And then she taught me how to spell it. We passed the Elf Cap Runner and rolled on north with the airplanes buzzing overhead. We passed a hotel with ESPN where my friends held a Tour de France party once. We passed Jim Dandy's, a shabby little bar where we went to drink afterwards, cheering Lance. About 9 miles from Jake and Antonia's house, we bent on toward the Highway 205 bridge, which has a bike lane that takes you over to the state of Washington. I crashed once in that bike lane, stupidly, and broke my rear rack. Now it amused me to think I could look left, look right, and with each look trigger a significant cycling memory. The clouds closed and the gorge wind picked up, but I was warm from the cycling.
The story continues in just a moment.
You're listening to...
Peter Gelman created all aspects of this work, both words and music. This recording is protected by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. To contact Monsieur Gelman, please visit DangerQuestMysteries.com.
Suddenly, I heard behind me the sound of a glass thermos exploding. That was Jake's tire. As we began to take apart the tire and tube, we saw Mexican cactus thorns stuck in many places in the tread, poking in the tube. But the tube was full of anti-flat glue, so all this time, a year since they left Mexico, it held. The thorns were small but tough, hard to pull out. Jake struggled with the tire. The blue glue liquid spilled out on my wind jacket. It would destroy the expensive fabric wherever it touched. I sprang up, dodging the flying blue drops. How could I patch that wet, gooey tire without becoming gooey myself? I have a new tube in my seat pack, Jake muttered as he unzipped it. I threw the wet tire down. Meanwhile, I started feeling the cold grip me as I stood there in my bike shorts in that winter wind. With the cold came a bleak feeling. The grass by the path was yellow-gray. I realized the small toe of each foot was numb. I stamped my feet. The elf cap runner passed us once again. He was the tortoise, and we the hares. Antonia, meanwhile, was investigating the cause of the damage. Antonia peered at the angle of the brake pads. This brake pad doesn't have a tooth, she exclaimed. It's a fang. You put it at a bad angle. Jake set down the patched tube. I did. See, it rubbed on the side of the tire and it chewed it open. He just lifted his eyebrows and grunted. Now he was poking a finger through the tear in the sidewall of the tire. Jake shrugged and started to put the tube and tire on the rim. I whistled. Whoa there, Jake. Whoa. Need a tire boot? He looked concerned. What's a tire boot? It's a heavy-duty patch for a tire. I learned to carry one because once I didn't have any, and I tried patching the tire with a tube patch, which burst 3 blocks later. I gave Jake the tire boot from my underseat bag, and I told them both, ah, here's a helpful hint from all the bike magazines. If you put a gash in your tire and don't have a boot, pull out your wallet. Cover the gash in your tire on the inside with a dollar bill.
A dollar bill?
Yeah, put it between the tire and the tube. Use a 20 if you prefer. American money is superpower money, and it can do anything, right? Not counting universal health care or full employment.
Yeah, Jake grunted, looking at the tire boot. I guess money's made to survive the grip of a million fingers.
He quickly put the wheel in the stays and with his folding tool repositioned the brake pads. Antonia, Jake, and I started back now, all of us shivering. It was better to be moving. In the motion and in the effort, I felt a spontaneity and continuous reward. The past, like every foot I zipped over, was insubstantial. The bike, the road beneath, the engine of my body, and the mobile fellowship of my companions, this was real. I didn't brood over the return of the gray sky or the traffic, as cycling always puts me in a good mood, and I warmed up again soon. With a tailwind and long downhills, the highway path miles hurled under us. The cycling warmed me,
and I felt the bike respond easily to each pedal stroke. Suddenly, Antonia flew by me. I am the Rayo Baluz. The Rayo Baluz. She stuck her tongue out and zoomed ahead. Behind her, Jake pulled alongside me. Amazing. Just think, I carried a thorn from the slopes of Popocatépetl all the way to Oregon, where it took a whole year to give me a Llanta Ponchada. What an incredible tribute to your tire and the slime in your tube, I responded.
I love slime. I love slime, he responded.
Yes, we must not underestimate the virtues of slime. Say, a minute ago, I heard a madwoman from Mexico saying she was the Rayo Baluz. What's Rayo Baluz mean?
Bolt of speed, I guess.
Slowing as Burnside turned uphill, Antonia slipped in between us. Let's review. What did you learn today? Nothing. Oh, wait. I learned to respect slime. She rolled her eyes and shook her head. What else? That you are the Rayo Baluz, and you taught Lance Armstrong how to ride without training wheels. Go, Lance. Fine, she sighed impatiently, almost ready to give up. We whirled through the gateway, waving at the MAX train. Pressed against the glass, three kids and their mother waved back. Anything else? Oh, yeah, I learned that Llanta Ponchada means flat tire in Spanish, and Yaba Baba Baba means Antonia found 3 pennies in Jakish. What did you learn today? I learned today that you are the worst Spanish student I ever met. And that you and Jake are children. Antonia, Jake, and I said goodbye before launching down the long series of Burnside downhills where our paths home would separate. As we began to descend, coasting, standing on the pedals, Jake and I yelled question and answer,
Yaba Baba 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 Yaba.
I sped ahead, thrilling at the rush of 30 miles an hour down Burnside, yelling back and forth to Jake, his answer coming over wider and wider distances, fainter and fainter,
Llanta Ponchada! Llanta Ponchada! Llanta Ponchada! Llanta Ponchada! Llanta Ponchada!
Thank you for listening. You can find more of our podcast at DangerQuestMysteries.com.
My email address is PeterGelman@yahoo.com.
I love slime.